¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Welcome in, everyone, to Morning Invest on this December 27th. It's our post-Christmas hangover, so I guess that's why we're getting things, items worked out and ironed out here. So thanks for joining us. Hey, coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about, first of all, the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. The verdict could be coming today.
Changed how we say her name again?
Well, no, that's the way her brother says it.
Ghislaine. Okay, I thought we'd had a discussion about this, and I guess
it's not Ghislaine, as he points out. This is from her brother that it's Ghislaine. Ghislaine Maxwell.
All right. I'm following.
The big verdict could be coming down today. Could she be spending at least a minimum of like 40 years in prison as a result? So we're going to go through some of the bombshells that are coming out of that that trial.
And the U.S. is requiring testing to travel, but facilitating no testing. So how's that work?
And millions of people are leaving blue cities and blue states. And the exodus is, it's unbelievable, actually. It's like a flip-flopping right now in the United States. What is going on here? Are blue states about to turn red and red states about to turn blue? Who knows? We'll get to all of that and more on today's show. All right. Welcome into Morning Invest. Hope everyone's doing well.
Welcome. This is the week between Christmas and New Year. We hope you're doing okay, hanging in there, getting ready for some kind of celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About to enjoy your new year. We hope you guys had a wonderful Christmas. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. It's a daily newsletter. If you go to morninginvest.com, that's the place to go, morninginvest.com, and sign up. It'll be delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. So we're going to get to all those stories and more. But first, let's start with your news headlines this morning, shall we? Because the jury returns today in the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell. How does her brother say it?
I thought that we had
agreed on Ghislaine.
Yeah, we'd have no accent. I'm sorry anyway, for anyone who actually knows how to say that word nicely.
Yeah.
It's not us.
It's not us, but her brother says
I think it's Ghislaine. That's how I say it. Ghislaine.
Her brother corrected us last week. So it is, you know, okay, he would probably have a better idea of how to pronounce it. Anyway, we could see the verdict of the British socialite. Let's just call her that. She's turned 60 years old in jail over the weekend. How would you like to celebrate your 60th in jail?
I wouldn't like that. I'm going to go out on a limb to say no to that.
I mean, she was arrested back in July of 2020, and she's still sitting there on charges alleging that she recruited and groomed teenage girls for financier Jeffrey Epstein. And she allegedly did this for a 10-year period from 1994 to 2004. The charges all relate to testimony from four women who say that Maxwell facilitated their abuse and sometimes participated in it as well. More than a decade ago, when they were under 18 years old, Maxwell has remained behind bars without bail ever since. And the most serious charge in all of this against Maxwell is trafficking a minor, a charge that's punishable up to 40 years in prison. This charge solely relates to the Carolyn. Her name was Carolyn. Between 2001 and 2004, she was 14. She only used her first name Carolyn when she testified because she was 14. At the time, she began to go to Epstein's home in Palm Beach, Florida, 2 or 3 times per week in the early 2000s. And then there she engaged in massages. That's a nice way of putting it, with Epstein, and that the Maxwell helped facilitate, Carolyn said. Each time she visited, listen to this, disgusting, $300 in cash was left for her on the bathroom sink. She estimated that she went there over 100 times. In all. Jeez. And sometimes, this is amazing, Maxwell or another Epstein associate would call her to try to set up an appointment time. Carolyn testified that Maxwell and the associate would call her or her mom or her boyfriend's phone if they couldn't reach her. So they would call her mom like, hey, Mrs. Carolyn, is your daughter around? Because we need your daughter to come over to Epstein's house again.
And the mom's like, she's not a masseuse.
Yeah. Who thinks she's a masseuse? I mean, can you imagine the mom in that situation? I mean,
no, I cannot.
Unbelievable. After two full days of deliberating, jurors went home on Wednesday without reaching a verdict. U.S. District Judge Judge Allison J. Nathan warned jurors to protect themselves against COVID over the long holiday weekend in New York because they have this massive increase in infections in New York right now. I mean, and you're also supposed to go home in this situation. You're supposed to go home and keep quiet about this, right? And that's what a judge tells you to do. I thought
jurors were already sequestered. They're not in this jury.
I guess not. I mean, they're not fully, so they're able to go home and spend Christmas with their families and do whatever. And they're told to keep quiet about it, of course. So you're told, you know, you can't talk about this at all. And you've got to be able to sit there quietly at a Christmas dinner and, hey, you're on the biggest high profile trial of the year.
Yeah.
And you can't tell your you can't tell anyone about it.
I don't know. That's strange. Okay. I don't know how you quality control for that.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about this in the news. Americans spent a lot of money this Christmas, and retailers had a happy holiday. Holiday sales were up 8.5% from last year, 10.7% from 2019. Despite the pandemic and economic uncertainty, consumers pulled out their wallets and bought their loved ones gifts. What did they buy, though? According to Associated Press, clothing rose 47%, jewelry 32%. Electronics were 16%. Online sales were up 11% from a year ago and 61% from 2019. Department stores registered a 21% increase over 2020. And the National Retail Federation said that non-store sales at gasoline and restaurants will also be up likely as well. And I guess the supply chain issues have been, you know, somewhat alleviated. But I saw a report this morning that said, you know, it might not have even been that people were, you know, buying gifts. They were worried that prices are going to go up in 2022, so they're stockpiling right now.
Jewelry?
That's what we were saying. But hey, that's what they're saying, is that the people were stockpiling certain things.
My question was if that was for the gold, like if people are like, you know, sterling gold. But what was the percentage it was up from before the pandemic, 2019?
It was 21% increase over 2020.
No, 61. Overall, it was over 10% from 2019. So they are calling it the fastest rise in a 1 year period because last year people didn't go out. So it's 8% from last year, but 10% from pre-pandemic times.
And is that profit that they're?
It's just overall sales.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much gross, you know,
gross things margins are a lot more expensive right now, too, because of inflation. So does that factor in?
Surely, because it's a sales figure, like how much dollars did you sell of shoes, right? So
they could have
sold $100 last year, but the same pair of shoes now costs $120, but that's still a 20% increase in sales.
Right, so items sold could be down.
Right.
The actual numbers, right.
Yeah.
But dollars spent was up. And so you're right, that doesn't account for inflationary price of products.
Right, so that could be kind of like off a bit because I was wondering, Clayton and I were actually talking about this before the show. It's like how during a pandemic when we still see people in the chat hurting and, you know, all this other stuff, like how in the world are people out there spending this kind of money? And maybe they're actually not. It's more that everything's just cost more.
Yeah.
Well, the government in South Korea wants to introduce a beep noise to cover to COVID apps that alerts them when unvaccinated people approach.
This is the dumbest thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine that?
This was in the newsletter this morning, and I was like, is this for real? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just for unvaccinated people. It's people whose vaccines may have expired, too. So then someone who maybe is 182 days from their previous vaccination would still beep, even if they are fully vaccinated. Now the fully vaccinated sort of label expires after 180 days, and if you get near that person, the scanners will beep.
Can we make it so that it beeps too with anybody that's vaccinated but still transmitting?
Right. No, it can't do that. It's only going to read your QR code and
yeah. Should we get this in the United States? I mean, it's crazy because, you know, critics obviously say that this is going to treat unvaccinated people like shoplifters or criminals. Others are worried that the beeping sound will drive them crazy because it's too annoying. To which the government can, you know, say that they can try to think of an alternative that is less irritating. I mean, so someone's going to walk up to you and just go beep 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 like a tricorder.
Well, you have to use a scanner, right? So it's not like person to person.
Like, hey, can I even be talking with you? Let me just scan your forehead
like
real quick.
Red dots on a map. They're going to, like, next you'll have Waze app or whatever, and you see red dots in cars. Like,
yeah, they'll just be moving around. Like, oh my God, an unvaccinated person is coming for me. Like, it's a, you know, it's like.
But like already we have ways to, the QR readers can show whose QR code is expired or not. So why do we need the beep to let other people around know, right? Those people should not be given access to the train, for instance, if you're boarding. That's the rules.
Right.
So why do we need this extra stigma of sound, right? Let's just paint them with a big X, like Ghostbusters.
I mean, that's what I was saying. It would be kind of gross to do, but like just replace the words unvaccinated to Jewish and vaccinated to German. Like, and use that in a sentence and say, we're going to, every time it scans, you're going to get a red beep when it's a Jewish person.
Yeah. And you'll be put into a bucket, you know, where the government's going to have certain opinions about what you can and can't do. And
I mean, the reason
it's
they do
looking
that
like
stuff
in
so
these
the
Asian
people-
countries, it's harder and harder to push back and live your life. It's just kind of no freedoms for you, period, in certain places, unless you are fully vaccinated. And we were told when it was time to go get vaccinated that, you know, this is what your government needs from you. Go do it. We were not warned that we would have to do it 9 months later, 6 months later. Right. So we did it once and now we're all being asked to do it again. And absolutely there will be it's going to be a various it's a spectrum of what countries are allowing what kind of behavior. And, well, and so many of them are allowing nothing.
Yeah. And they're already on their fourth booster in Israel.
Yes.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like when they do those beeps and that sounds, that's like they're getting the people to do their work for them, because like all of this fear mongering and stuff has regular people fighting people that aren't vaccinated. So they're doing the government's work for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, they're, you know, getting like postal workers and frontline workers to do all this work for them. So and make, you know, it's like hall monitors. You know, getting these people to be hall monitors for the government. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about testing. We're going to talk about America's new lockdown and more. But first, let's tell you about our show sponsor, our friends over at Moomoo. So you guys want to get $7,000, up to $7,000 right now in free stocks and crypto. You can do it. And you can join like my favorite trading a platform because of all of the different benefits you get. So Moomoo is a trading platform that you can open it for like nothing. No money at all, really. You get free stocks and free crypto. You get free real-time level 2 data for US stocks, which you pay for on other platforms, so it's free. Zero commission trades, and it's super simple to install. I love their interface, but they have the biggest bonus of any sign up of any exchange right now, $7,000 potentially for you to get in free stocks and crypto. And you know, to make a lot of money in crypto, you don't need a lot to start. So even if you just get a few hundred dollars of crypto starting for you on some of these really explosive small market cap coins, you can explode in value. And if you want to get this $7,000 in free stock, you can go over to morninginvest.com/moomoo. Again, that's morninginvest.com/moomoo. You can get up to $7,000 in free stock. $7,000 in free stuff up to. So check them out.
All right. Well, thousands of flights were canceled over the holiday weekend because the Omicron variant seems to be rolling its way through the United States. The United States has instated tougher travel restrictions, requiring anyone who wants to travel in the United States to have a test that was done within the previous 24 hours of boarding. Problem is, the U.S. can't guarantee that those kind of tests at all. So the funny thing about this law is that the U.S. is asking other countries to comply with something that they cannot do themselves. Travelers all over the country are reporting that they are unable to get a test. And if they can get a test, they are not guaranteed to have results within 24 hours. Many of them are going 72 hours and then therefore missing their flights. Hundreds of thousands of travelers were stranded for this very reason. And it's a strange sort of method of operation at this point, is that, you know, it's again that the U.S. cannot seem to test with any kind of regularity or reliability or validity, right? Why is that? Early in the pandemic, there were reasons. It had to do with the FDA and their sort of tightened regulations. We can talk about that later. But now we have a standardized test. They are readily available in most countries. So is it that if tests are not available, people will just, well, I might as well just go get vaccinated? Is that what the idea is? Or why? Why is this happening, do you think?
I don't know. It's a disaster. I mean, when you look at what's happening in the UK right now, not exactly a poster child for handling the pandemic, but in the UK, if you want to get tests for travel, you literally go to a website and plug in your info, and there you can order, like, hey, I need seven of these because my family of seven is traveling. They will be there the next day. They will show up on your front door with tests ready to go.
And you can upload it. There is a service in the United States that is allowing you to do virtual at-home tests, and you will get a valid code. You have to FaceTime with the nurse in order to do it. So they watch you stick yourself on the nose. They watch the camera. So you can't, like,
fake it.
Put it up your daughter's nose or your dog's nose or whatever, right? You have to do it to yourself. But this is a privilege. It costs like $60 for two tests, right?
I was gonna say,
this
for a wealthy person, that's going to be great.
It's fine, right? You can skip the line. But for non-wealthy people, you can't skip the line, and you're in exorbitant long lines in sort of public crowded places where probably you are giving each other COVID. It doesn't really make sense to tighten this legislation and then prove, like, it's like, and then show the man behind the curtain, show that we can't do it.
Well, we can't do it at all.
It's also been shown time and time again that these tests, those swab tests, are not accurate.
Yes.
Right. So, well, don't even talk about that. Right. Forget that part of it. Like, how can we get tests out to people so they feel good about themselves? Right. Forget whether or not they work, because God knows, you know, like, think about that for a second. You have false positives. You have certain people who are, you know, in one nostril, they're getting one response, and the other nostril, they're getting a different response, or they're not putting it in. Are we trusting everyone at home to do these things properly? We know how uncomfortable they are, right? Yeah. If you've gotten one of these things, they go up to your brain, you know, and you're like, okay, are you done? If I'm doing it at home, I'm going, well, there we go. Right?
Yes.
I mean, let's be honest.
I did that to myself when I did have COVID and got negative and was like, fine. And then Clayton watched me do it, and he's like, you're not really doing that. And I'm like, because I don't want to.
Like, this
and
is hardly even in your nose. You got to go all the way up there. You got to jam your brain. You got to, like, you know, feel your, you know, head going
It's
off
hard
the side.
To do that to yourself. It's like waxing your own eyebrows.
Exactly. That's why. So to David's point, I mean, knowing whether or not these things work to begin with by having a professional do it. And then on top of that, now you're going to trust people at home to make sure that they're getting it. I mean, anyway, but Jen Psaki was asked this question like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, right? She was asked about free COVID tests at home, and she snarkily responded. She's like, what, are we going to start giving out free tests to everyone? Like, that was her response, to which, a week later, now that's what they're doing. Like,
if there were profit in it for somebody, you absolutely would have done it, because we're giving away free vaccines to everyone.
But there's just such a pot. It doesn't make any sense. It's such a hodgepodge. The United States could spend $768 billion a year on national defense, right? This seems to me like a military operation, but we can't get tests out to people.
It's crazy. And to me, it's just because it looks like, because you know that they're not going to be accurate. They're already not accurate when they do them at a hospital. They're going to be less accurate at home, but it helps keep the fear alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whether or not. So here's another crazy thing, right? In America, and I didn't know this until doing the research for this story, that you can fly in the United States domestically.
Oh, yes.
With no test.
Or a mask. Well, no, the airlines require a mask. Airs.
But you don't have to show a test when you go on an airline in the United States. You do not have to show any kind of vaccine card or anything. But to go into a freaking restaurant, you have to. So you're going to travel, you're going to go through, and that's why, you know, you have all of these airlines canceling flights. I mean, thousands of them, of course, canceling flights. We had upwards of 10,000 flights canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some being canceled mid-flight. One flight, a British Airways flight, a Delta flight had to be canceled mid-flight.
What does that mean? The air?
In the air, it was canceled while it was flying.
So they just turned them around?
They just turned them around. Like, how do you, and then think about, like, global infrastructure and shipping and everything else. Like, how can you run a business off of that? You can't. They've got to figure something out here, because it's an absolute disaster right now.
Right. And so now politicians are saying, we're not going back into another lockdown, but, and then insert some sort of strange restriction here, right? And so it's been incumbent then on small business owners to decide whether or not they can keep their doors open. I've seen restaurants saying, hey, we have an outbreak, we need to close down, or there's an outbreak in the area, we're going to have to close down. But they're not getting any help with decision making from any standard government decision. The government just seems to not want to make decisions, but allow things to fall like dominoes. We've seen in New York City, now Broadway shows are canceled because of infections. Restaurants are shutting down, but there is still no real word from the top that they will do a lockdown or they will help with any small business relief.
In New York, thought they already had the passport. So what sense does that make if they're going to start closing down again? I thought unvaxxed couldn't go in restaurants already anyway. So now they're shutting it down for vaccinated?
Well, they're shutting it down when there are outbreaks, especially.
Yeah. So if you get an outbreak, you get workers that get an outbreak. Now we're shutting it down. We're shutting down whole productions over.
Even though they're vaccinated.
Even though they're vaccinated. Yes. And now we know that this Omicron is very mild. It's just like a cold, runny nose, scratchy throat. So we don't do that when people have the common cold. No. I mean, people walk into a bagel shop in New York City hacking up a lung. You know, I'll take two bagels. Oh, that person could have COVID now. Like, we got to make sure no one can go anywhere ever again. And so they're calling it now not a lockdown, but a soft lockdown. That's what it's like, the gentler, it's the kinder, gentler lockdown, the soft lockdown. Like, you know,
I'm gonna
like
poke
in
your eye
City.
With this needle, but I'm going to give you the soft poke.
A voluntary suspension of activity, a soft lockdown, will help dampen transmission of the coronavirus. Okay.
But who is voluntarily wanting to put their business out? You know, that's the thing, is it would be one thing if we really thought that a lockdown would work. And in some places, it seemed to work in 2020. America never had an actual lockdown. It was just a let's let small business die while we support large business. You know, even these articles this morning that we linked to in the newsletter about how retailers seem to have saved the holiday, right? Target did just great. They, you know, somehow unclogged the supply chain and everyone got what they needed from Target, from Amazon, from Home Depot, from Walmart, right? But small businesses are still suffering as the government continues to give preferential treatment to them. And then these small businesses, because let's be clear, Target is not going to voluntarily lock down ever.
Right.
That's just not going to happen. And so who is going to be hurt by this are small businesses that then will have to, and we'll have regulators coming in and saying, can you do this safely, right? Target can pay a fine. It would be like a speed bump and keep going. The same with Whole Foods, same with Trader Joe's. All of these bigger businesses will be just fine. But soft lockdowns will again be another way that the government prioritizes winners and chooses losers.
And again, they give us 0-0-0 idea of what the end goal is. Because if you look at like Gibraltar, they were 100% vaccinated and there's an outbreak, right? Like that is a place.
Look at Australia right now as an example of Australia. Okay, here's a country that literally created like concentration camps for people that were unvaccinated. Okay, so you have people kept in like camps and they have a huge, huge surge in COVID surging through that country. So despite all these lockdowns and concentration camps and forced vaccinations and mandates, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. So, you know, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to literally shutter your economy? And here, you know, to Natalie's point, the way that you know that it's all about crushing small businesses and crushing the little guy is just to look at Wall Street's jubilation this morning, right? They finished a record week last Friday. Friday.
It's all green.
It was 67, I'm sorry, S&P 500 records in a row, right? And we're going, 68, because we're going for our 69th in a row today. And Wall Street stocks this morning opening higher after Christmas holiday. So were they going to continue this push? Well, there you go. Stock market doing great. Stock market doing absolutely fine. Wall Street doing absolutely fine. All big businesses, Fortune 500 companies doing fine.
And what the heck are people complaining about?
Small lockdown. Well, I think what I'm complaining about is little businesses being crushed when you have these government, you know, this government indecision. and not helping the little guy when you make these government mandates. And it you know, these larger companies can sustain themselves. They can sustain themselves with multiple business options that they've had or billions of dollars in the bank. But the little guy, the little butcher shop, you know, they're crushed. They're gone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, then we already lost over 200,000 small businesses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then to say that these businesses have to voluntary, like I follow Brian Voltaggio on Instagram,
Top Chef Master.
Yeah. If you watch Top Chef, he was one of the Voltaggio brothers. And he was saying his restaurant in Maryland is voluntarily closing down because of an outbreak. Right. But there's no help for someone like that. There also was no government mandate making him do it. He felt like he didn't want to continue to expose his staff. And that, you know, restaurants are a great way to spread it if this is what we're worried about. And so who's going to help them? There's no politician, no fund, no, there's nothing. And there's not, no PPPs anymore. There's nothing. So we're going to allow these businesses to, which it's a brave move to shut down your business. Nobody wants to do it, especially not during the holidays when everyone wants to eat out.
Right. Yes.
Well, and there's a lot of these people, like, you know, they've sacrificed a lot of their life to building up these small businesses, and for them to shut it down, like, what are they going to do? They've been out of the workplace for some people 10, 20, 30 years. Like, yeah. What are they going to do? They're not going to go to Walmart and be a door greeter.
And most entrepreneurs find themselves utterly unemployable, right? They don't want to work for other people. They do this for a reason, so that they can have autonomy. But you can't compete with someone who can pay the fines or work easier with regulators, or you just can't. It's so hard to compete with the Amazons and the Targets.
Well, and that's right there has been my argument against the $15 minimum wage, because I think that the small businesses are who that would hurt the most, and the Walmarts and Targets and all these other big box companies could sustain, you know, that hit.
Oh, they absolutely do. And they have other ways of mitigating that issue, you know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but, you know, that's why if we're going to have some sort of a discussion about, you know, minimum wage, like it needs to be, you know, there needs to be a distinction between small business and big business. And what does it mean to be small business? I mean, heck, during, you know, the PPP programs or PPE programs, they were claiming, like, you know, 15,000 employees is considered a small business.
Right.
Like, really?
Okay. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's some small business, 15,000 employees. Okay.
And the media will spin this as if Omicron is rolling through because it's so much more contagious, which it is. And because people get together more during the holidays, which is also true, but none of this exists in a vacuum, right? The holidays are also a time for disrupting your sleep, eating more sugar and drinking more alcohol, and getting in more fights with people you love. All of those things are lowering your immune system. And of course, this is a perfect breeding ground for any kind of disease, right? Any kind of infection. So again, I know I say this all the time, but your immunity matters too. If you got a lot of sleep and ate well and are taking good care of your body, your immune system is stronger. You don't have to be counted in those numbers if you take care of yourself. I'm not saying, you know, even the healthiest people won't be infected by COVID. Absolutely true. But your immune response will be stronger. We can't pretend that it's just because of these things.
Yeah. And Robert Malone, the guy that is one of the inventors of the technology, the mRNA technology, he said that this is exactly what happens. What transmissibility usually goes up, but the effects of it usually go down.
Right. Right.
And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's put everyone under lockdown. But get ready for that. It's the new soft lockdown. That's the new name for it. All right, we got more news to get to. There's rumblings within the Democratic Party right now that President Biden gave some pretty big signals that he is going to step down before the end of his term, opening the way for a Kamala Harris presidency. We'll talk about that. I mean, unbelievable sign, you know, and even CNN questioning his cognitive ability. We'll get there in a minute. But first, you want to tell us about our show sponsor?
Sure. Now is a good time to give yourself a break from all the domestic work and think about eating at home in a more healthy way. That's where HelloFresh comes in, our show sponsor. They are at-home delivery meal service that helps you put together tasty, easy, and healthy meals without all of the brain work. So what they do is choose a menu menu for you for the week or a few days. And then they send you all of the fresh ingredients that go into making that thing. That way you have healthy at home cooked meals, but you don't have to do all of the, this is where I feel the most tired when I am trying to express my creativity through meal planning. I am incapable. And so if I have someone helping me with, say, you know, these different types of meals and different inspiration. Otherwise, if it were all left to me, I'd just make tacos every Tuesday, pizza every Friday. You know, like, it's good to have someone to help you take the creativity out of that, because goodness knows you have enough to think about in your life. So HelloFresh will deliver all of these to your door. It is farm fresh produce, and it arrives within a week. So you get the convenience of not having to go to the grocery store, but also not skimping on quality as well. They make sure that the ingredients you have fit your dietary concerns, whether you eat meat or you don't, you're trying to cut calories or you're trying to eat in the zone. Do people even say in the zone anymore?
I do.
You do.
Now we call it paleo, but it used to be called in the zone for the cool kids. So yes, they can accommodate your dietary needs should you need to. So yes, right now, HelloFresh listener, or I'm sorry, our listeners can go to HelloFresh.com/invest16, and they can use this code INVEST16 and get up to 16 free meals plus 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/invest16, and your offer code is INVEST16. This is America's number one meal kit, and goodness knows you want to eat better, be healthier, boost that immune system, but not kill yourself in the endeavor. That's where HelloFresh comes in, and we thank them so much for their support of this show.
Yeah, and on the screen there, just to be clear, so it is HelloFresh.com/invest16. So they've increased the number of free meals you can get. So make sure you go to invest16, morninginvest.com/invest16. That's amazing. 16 free meals. And as the cost of all this stuff is going up in grocery stores right now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. All right. There are some big warning signs for the Biden administration and the Democratic Party in general that President Biden could be considering a plan to step down before the end of his presidency, turn the keys to the kingdom over to Kamala Harris, vice president. And by the way, if she doesn't want it, then it would basically fall to Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House.
Can she you
imagine
wants
that?
It.
She wants it. Can oh, you yes. imagine that scenario for a second? But she's literally one person away from then having the presidency handed to her. But the poll numbers right now for Democrats, for President Biden, the reason he's being pressured to even step down is because of massively low poll numbers, lower than Jimmy Carter, which is really, really bad. In addition to which, his entire agenda appears to be totally crushed. I've seen people refer to him as a lame duck president right now because his agenda is crushed thanks to people like Joe Manchin, who do not want to allow the president's agenda to move forward. Then, you know, and Kamala Harris getting questions about who is actually president of the United States. She got this question when she, Comedy Central thought it was going to be a fun softball interview. He literally asks her, you know, who's president of the United States? Whose agenda is running the show?
Serious. Who the superhero that's going to speak against Joe Manchin? No. I want to know who the real president of this country is. Is it Joe Biden or Joe Manchin?
It's fine. I just want to interrupt. I'm so sorry, Charlamagne. We have
to wrap. She can hear me.
So this was all
what
behind
is this?
The scenes.
This producer's just screaming.
Yeah. So this was all behind the scenes at a Comedy Central recording. And so this was not supposed to air. But the question was, you know, who's the real president, Joe Manchin or Joe Biden? And she flips out about it. And her producer, Kamala Harris's producer, is basically saying, you know, hey, she can't go. She has got a rap. She's got a rap.
And he's saying she can hear me.
He's like, they're acting like they can't hear me. And he's like, she can hear me. She can hear me. And she says, wait a minute, I'm not going to let this question go unanswered. I need to defend myself.
I can hear you.
Oh, so who's the real president of this country? Is it Joe Manchin or Joe Biden, Madam Vice President?
Come on, Charlamagne.
I really
it's Joe Biden.
I can't tell sometimes.
No.
It's Joe Biden. And don't start talking like a Republican about asking whether or not he's president.
Do you think Joe Manchin is a problem?
It's Joe Biden. And I'm vice president. My name is Kamala Harris. And the reality is, because we are in office, we do the things like the child tax credit, which is going to reduce black child poverty by 50%, on track to do that. We do things that are about saying that our Department of Justice is going to do these investigations and require that we end chokeholds and have body cameras.
Wow.
It is the work of saying we're going to get lead out of pipes and paint because our babies are suffering because of that. It is the work of saying people who ride public transit deserve the same kind of dignity that anybody else does. So let's improve that system. It is the work of saying that we have got to bring down prescription drug costs because folks who have diabetes.
I want you to know that Madam Vice President, that Kamala Harris, that's the one I like. That's the one that was putting the pressure on people in Senate hearings. That's the one I'd like to see more often out here in these streets.
Wow.
Okay.
Was she campaigning right then? Like,
well, so the question, you know, there's a lot of rumblings about when President Biden was asked last week whether he would run for president again. And he says, you know, if I'm healthy. And so there were a number of insiders in the Democratic Party that said, whoa, that's a huge sign that he's considering, or he's leaving that as a door for him to say, I'm not fit for office anymore. I'm going to hand over the presidency to Kamala Harris in the next, I don't know, 6 months, 7 months or less.
I feel like this headline, though, Joe Biden pressured to step down. And then when you read further into it, you realize it's like Democratic strategists that want him to. It's not really necessarily inside his cabinet. And we saw these same types of stories about Trump, too. It's just sort of the media likes to take these up so that we think like, oh, what's going on? There's, you know, it's not all roses in there. So, it's interesting. But at the same time, if we follow the arc of the year, right, when 2021 dawned, we thought the media told us Joe Biden was going to save us from Trump because Trump was crazy, because we got these same kind of headlines. And they made us think that Joe Biden was a progressive president. And now they're telling us he's failed at all of those things because he's not a progressive president, which just says that entire narrative was always false. Trump was probably pressured to step down. I do believe there were people who wanted, the same way there are people who want Biden to step down, that in the party, not in the cabinet. And then for the media to have set us up to like say that he was going to save us and bring back all of these progressive things when he's furthered the Trump agenda, if not taken it further in many respects when it comes to climate
and immigration.
And so now they're like, oh, he's disappointing us. But really, it's the media that's disappointed us for making us think he was something that he's not. We should know that if we're paying attention.
Well, I mean, he said it himself. Nothing is fundamentally going to change.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. So he's failing. He's not failing in that front. No, nothing has changed.
He's doing exactly what the mainstream media wanted. He's doing exactly what CNN wanted, which was to not have Trump. And now
that
their ratings are in the toilet, they're like, wow, maybe we made the wrong choice. We need some controversy. We need Trump back. We need Trump to stir things up again. This is how CNN makes their money.
So these types of headlines are self-serving. I'm sure there are plenty of Democrats who don't want Joe Biden in office, but that doesn't mean that it's like as internal as it seems.
Well, okay, this week when we saw President Biden's press, he did that 30-minute interview or 20-minute interview with David Muir on ABC, and it was brutal. And he repeatedly just kept, it was pretty bad.
But we had this with Trump too. That's the thing. And the media
not
benefits
level,
from
though.
It.
Not at this
I
level.
I think you, at this level. Trump was never able to make a declarative sentence that had a period and a capital letter in the beginning.
I agree, but
if you listen to
Biden, it's like complete gibberish. And that was even during his campaign. I think the difference,
you know, it's interesting. Well, the Trump thing, I know what you're saying. I felt like, okay, there were people that were floating this idea that he had like dementia at the beginning of his presidency and all this stuff. But he knows what he's doing. He knows how to play the media like a fiddle. And sure, he can't make a declarative statement and his sentences are always in a weird arc. But at the end of the day, he knows how to press the buttons. He knows what he's doing.
How is this different than what Biden is doing right now?
Let's listen to CNN here. This is shocking. CNN comes out and Jeff Zeleny, who is a very good political reporter, and has been around the White House for many, many years, said that he thinks that there's cognitive decline. He said this on Wolf Blitzer's show. Let's listen to CNN say it.
Repeatedly throughout this interview with David Muir, which was recorded this afternoon, President Biden seems confused and was confusing the half billion tests that they've ordered with a half billion pills. Of course, pills were in the news today with the Pfizer approval of the antiviral. So he corrected himself, but that was one thing that struck out to me. But then simply this administration and the president leading the charge here, really not accepting any responsibility at all for this lack of testing. We've seen these images across the country, long lines,
So he goes on to talk about testing there, but he starts out, kind of dancing, nicely saying it, but he's like, the president's confused multiple times in the interview. He's conflating these pills with the tests and pills, this thing and that thing and that thing and this thing. So when you have CNN questioning his cognitive ability, I mean, either, I guess, follow the money, right? Follow
well,
the
and
money
I, and CNN. I believe
they'd love to have Trump back in here.
The difference is Trump is ignorant, where Biden, it's cognitive. Because Biden's not, if you watch the way that they put sentences together, it is at least with Trump, you were getting some kind of circle that would come back around, and it was just all about him and all this other stuff. But Biden is like complete word salad, to where he's saying things that you cannot make sense of at all.
But he's always been like that.
No,
I interviewed him 10 years ago, and he was like that. He's making a point. You just have to follow a little bit harder to see where it's going.
I mean, watch his speeches.
I think that both of these narratives, and I think it'd be fairly easy to do a content analysis of both men at this time in their presidency and the internal discord and the fact that there's a lot of infighting and nothing actually happening. I think that we'd see that this is a culture of fear. It's a cyclical,
we're in a cycle.
We're in the same cycle. We liked it with Trump. It sort of sold us this superiority, like this person's crazy and we can't rely on them. It gives us as citizens a reason to feel like the government is failing us, and look at this failing person. The narrative is the same. It doesn't matter who's sitting in the seat.
Well, you're right about this cycles, because look, GOP now, optimism growing over a red wave. Well, didn't we just hear about the blue wave under Trump?
Absolutely,
which,
we did.
By the way, didn't happen.
We have to follow the cycles to realize what it's trying to tell us is that we are right to be disappointed in these leaders. They are failing us. Our situation is not ours to take control of. So we can just be dissatisfied and watch the media and keep ourselves in this inflammatory response. And then what does that do? It makes us more powerless, because we don't think, well, then I better be in control of my life. Well, then I should take a step beyond government. It does. It's a non-empowering narrative, and it helps to feel like the leader is failing. And we're just repeating the same crap.
Well, I guess maybe to feel that way. But then, I mean, is this leader failing? Is this
in the same way the previous did? I don't think they are fundamentally different people when it comes to leadership.
I mean, I don't think so either. I mean, look, Trump was a Democrat for most of his life, right? So this idea that he conveniently put on this, new kind of outfit to.
And so if we, like you, chat room, and me and you, Clayton, and you, David, think like, oh, they're just all failures, the government's failing us, and we just spin our wheels here without thinking about what we individually can do to make our own lot better, then the government doesn't have to deal with us as individuals. We are just collectively pissed off and doing what the media tells us.
Right. Well, that's the thing. When we become sheep, that's what I think what we try to teach you here on the show is, when you sit there and you are a gaping, wide-mouthed salmon with the remote control in your hand, like just putting on CNN, like watching what they're feeding your brain,
And then you feel this way. And then I absolutely went through, like, with all of this inflammation about Trump, like, yeah, that's crazy. He's a womanizer, blah, blah, blah. And then I went through the same thing. Like, if you allow yourself to go through their media cycles, you are not empowering yourself. I mean, I know this. I was, not to brag, I was a research assistant on the book, The Culture of Fear. Like, this is how the media takes us through these things. And we have to realize this or else we won't break the cycle, and we'll just keep doing these. I don't know how much more I can make this gesture until you
Yeah. I mean, look, I worked in the mainstream media for 20 years. I mean, I don't anymore, you know, and one of the things that, you know, it be that time of year, it's like, okay, when do we start doing the war on Christmas stories to rile people up?
Yeah.
You know, as Bill O'Reilly liked to say, he wouldn't do a segment on his show unless he could feel it in his gut, because then he knew it would resonate with his audience, right? And so, okay, what does that mean? What types of stories then is he going to cover, right? So all of those things are part of this cycle. Every year, you could set an egg timer by it. You know when it's going to come up in the cycle.
Yeah.
You know, during the year, it's going to be a lull during the summer. So you dig into the archives and do some crazy stuff. It's what works.
So I will, people in the chat are saying, how do we break this? I will recommend the book that I was a graduate student, and I was the research assistant for Barry Glassner. And the book is called The Culture of Fear. And the subtitle is Why the Media Makes Us Afraid of the Wrong Things. And we specifically did research on things like Halloween candy, like razor blades in Halloween candy, or pedophile priests, or shark attacks, and how the media will make you afraid of these things in cycles for its own profit, right? And so I think this is just another one of our president's crazy. He's losing his mind. He's too old. There's discord in the party. Because that makes sense for the media. But does it make sense for us? I don't know. It just gives us a way to feel like disenchanted.
I had a friend who was also worked at a men's magazine, and he said they would allow enough space from between running the exact same story over and over and over again about men, like men, picture a men's magazine cover with like a guy talking about abs or best, you know, best sexual, whatever, you know, like, and those things would come on a rotation, and they would literally, as the editor in chief, they would literally rotate these stories, the exact same ones. And they would just tweak a few minor little things, and they would run the exact same cover story about losing weight and have abs every few months. Do the same thing over and over in a cycle, because they knew that when they put these particular headlines, they could sell magazines. So, you know, it's about having awareness of those things in order to be empowered. So we'll see. Hey, is Biden stepping down? Kamala's going to take over the presidency, or is Nancy Pelosi going to be in power?
Oh, geez. Either one of them. I would love, love, love to have a female president, but those two and Clinton would completely ruin that.
Yeah, to have that be, and also, wouldn't that suck for women too? I mean, I just got to say, I'm going to put this out there.
I don't think either of you should.
Hold on, I want to say this. We'll have a discussion about this. Okay, wouldn't this suck for women?
Excuse me while I hydrate for this discussion, and you tell me what will suck for women, please.
I'm in touch with women, so I know what
it would suck to have such warmongering.
I know what sucks
Wall
for them.
Wall Street hungry, you know, rich, disconnected people taking over the country.
That's not what I was thinking. That's one thing. Hold on, let me finish my point here.
It's okay for men to be those things.
No, it's not. I don't want
that's
them
what show
but
is
if
about.
A woman who were those things, which I'm not going to agree on across the board that all three of those women are those things, but let's say we do. But if a woman is those things, that would reflect poorly on women. But since men are those things and currently are in power, does that reflect poorly on men?
Heck yeah.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, well, no, look, they keep getting reelected. It does to us on this show. Like I've called President Biden a warmonger. I've called President Obama a warmonger.
You're looking to bomb innocent people. You're looking at potentially having the first woman president. So she would have to be good. Otherwise, it would ruin.
Here's the point I was going to make. Instead of a woman going through the normal election cycle and being elected president of the United States overwhelmingly with a popular vote and wins the Electoral College, like that's the way that a woman should win the presidency. It shouldn't be that some guy who's cognitively in decline hands it over to a woman. Like, here, you drive now.
Right.
Like, to me, I would want for women to have a President Obama moment, you know, like the first Black American is elected president. And in that way, with that type of response, with that overwhelming number of votes, like that should be the way that it happens. Not like some old white guy hands her the keys. That's my point. Did I surprise you? Did I surprise you with that take?
Yeah, I was ready for a fight, and I'm going to back down on that.
Good. Okay. Good for
me. I was reading the Pope's Mass over the weekend, who says, say you're sorry to your spouse more often.
Yes.
That's the key to
marriage. I know she sent me that article this morning. She's like, the Pope said there's three key words to a long-lasting marriage. I'm sorry.
Please and thank you.
And I'm like, are you sending that to me because you're realizing you need to do more of that?
I just thought it was fun fodder. Yeah. This is where Clayton will take the opportunity to let me know that I don't apologize.
I just think for a woman, like, it shouldn't be like a sidecar issue. It shouldn't be like, oh, she's the first. And because it would always have an asterisk by it.
But we don't put those types of high expectations on a man. Like, because you're the first man in office, you must rise to the occasion. And although Obama did face a lot of that for being the first black president, right? So the first black president has to be better because he's the first one. Not that he could just be who he was. He had to prove himself on behalf of black people and interracial people. And
yeah, I guess I just don't want, like, for a woman to get the presidency, I don't want it to be a booby prize.
That is the stupidest thing.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want it to be like a consolation prize. Like, oh, the man couldn't handle it, so here are the keys. Like, I would want her to go to
win. But then cannot be a reason to say, like, oh, we tried a woman. That's comedy. That's the plot of the third season of Veep, or the fourth season. I don't remember. But yeah. Then it can't be like, well, we tried that, so we can't have women anymore.
But because that's just the way people think, though. That's just the way people think. It is sexist for sure.
I don't want the first woman president to have an asterisk by it.
Well, I don't think,
like, the way I look at Tom, like Teddy Roosevelt, right? There's always an asterisk by Teddy Roosevelt. Who is the youngest president in American history? Well, the youngest president was Teddy Roosevelt. But then when you ask the question, who was the youngest president ever elected? That's JFK, right? Because Teddy Roosevelt was vice president and only took over once William McKinley was shot. So he wasn't elected. He was young, but he was. So it's like there's always that little, like, asterisk. And I wouldn't want that for, like, who's the first woman who was elected? Oh, that's not this person, because she was just handed the keys. It was this person 20 years later because she went through the process.
I think most people are bygones now about Teddy Roosevelt. Most people don't look in the history books and think of this asterisk.
Do you think about it? Like, you know,
I don't think that's top of mind for most people.
No, it's not the same. I was just trying to, you know, there's always like a little asterisk by that question. And I wouldn't want that for the first woman president of the United States. I would want it to be like an overwhelming clean win, you know?
But that it's like in the and Dodgers, of itself is sexist expectation.
It's like the Dodgers winning the World
Series. It has to be perfect conditions or else we don't let entry into this woman.
It's not really. I mean, this is kind of like this whole conversation we're having right now about gender equality as it comes to sports, you know? And oh, this anyway, it's like the Dodgers winning the World Series in a COVID year when they play 80 games instead of 162 games and they win the World Series. Like, not the same thing.
And it's also, it's like what you want is you want that something, analogy. You want somebody that's going to get in office that's going to fundamentally change things. And if a woman got into the office and then nothing fundamentally changed again, then it shows that there's really no difference when it's like everybody's like, we need a woman president. We need a woman president because they will make a difference. And then they don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, it has to be somebody who's going to make fundamental changes. I would like a guy to do the same thing, but
this is
not Kamala Harris, who literally changes with the political winds, and who, you know, she was polling lower than Bernie Sanders. She was polling lower than Andrew Yang. Like, and MSNBC and CNBC wouldn't even put those people on the same television set in their graphics because they didn't want Bernie Sanders or Andrew Yang. They wanted a Kamala Harris because she fits the media mold.
Right.
She fits the the mainstream corporatocracy mold, you know?
Yes.
So, anything else on that point?
I have a lot more on that point, Natalie. But I would thank you. That's nice of you. I feel like, you know, who's the comedian that makes the joke about why do we have male and female Oscars? Like, because a man is out here out-acting a woman. Like, why put gender into those? There's certain things like, okay, we understand why they're separated by gender. Hmm. Although decreasingly in this world, right? But, like, why are we having these different standards in acting?
Yeah.
Or, you know.
I could see that.
That kind of thing. Like, oh, Clayton's really out acting me right now. We're playing the same game, and leadership is the same. And I feel like any leader who gets close to that upper echelon is fundamentally the same. You can't play the political game and be that much different than anyone else.
Yeah, I guess we've seen that for 250 years.
Right. And so gender is just one way that we're like spinning the wheels, but really they all are run by corporate interests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's one big corporation. All right. All right, let's talk about this. There's something really interesting happening, and we're seeing this in census data. Now we're seeing it more pronounced than ever before, thanks to the pandemic, perhaps, and beyond, is that millions of Americans are fleeing blue states and blue cities and moving to red states and red cities. And look at this flip-flop. It is absolutely overwhelming to look at the bottom of your screen here and to see California, New York, Illinois, Massachusetts, is that Louisiana, New Jersey, District of Columbia, Maryland, all in red. Blue states, blue states, blue states. And then on top, you've got green. These are all of the red states that are now seeing a massive increase in population from Florida, Texas, Arizona, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, and on and on and on the list goes. So this massive exodus from blue states into red states, are we surprised by this?
No. Anyone? Because Democratic states don't treat their people very good. I know because I've only ever lived in them, and they make you have high taxes. They make you pay high taxes, and you get very little for that in return.
And look what's happening during COVID, right? We're seeing business crushing implications, like what we saw in Michigan, for instance. Mm-hmm. We see like business crushing ordinances that don't apply to bigger businesses. They're crushing the small businesses. They're being run out based on draconian policies, and they're fleeing these states and moving to states that are lower taxes, more favorable for business. And this could be a real question here. Are we going to see like a massive flip-flop in what we consider to be a blue state and a red state in the future? When you see this, it literally is like a flip-flopping.
Yes.
From Florida all the way down, from Texas at the top, Florida at the top, Arizona at the top, and look at the amount of people leaving California.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I sort of thought when the pandemic happened and people started moving, I was like, this is going to be over soon. You should just stay. I was surprised that so many people were brave enough to make big moves like this. And yeah, it's interesting.
Because you have like, de Blasio, that's where an article like this is written, like Omicron is pushing America into a soft lockdown. And you have New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, saying, I don't see any scenario for a shutdown, but I'm just going to make sure it's incredibly difficult for anyone to do business. Like, that's the way I'm going to do it, in these moves. Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Anybody have anything to say about it? What do you guys think in the chat? I'll ask the chat. Anybody else? What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think most people feel like it's not just the climates. Obviously, it's that they're so expensive, is that the Democratic states are high tax, high population density, and it's so expensive to stay there. And then you realize, what am I getting for it when I could live this same life with more space and a bigger house with lower property tax values?
Yeah, can I put up that graph again? Sure. Frank.
Yeah, the graph is, can you sort of zoom in and then move down?
Let me do that. All right, there I am, down. These are all the states that are having the most moves here. California, New York, Illinois, New Jersey, District of Columbia.
These are the biggest exodus. So the states in the middle are kind of stasis then. Iowa, what's above Iowa? New Mexico. It's kind of similar.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, why don't we move on? And I will tell you about what's trending today on Google and Twitter and otherwise on the internet. And you tell us your either context or your response. Are you ready for that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hashtag pick a side YouTube is trending because people are calling out YouTube for punishing content creators for inconsistent rules while also allowing pedophiles and other types of perverts on their platform. I read into this a lot and I was hoping that maybe you or David would understand this a little bit better or differently. David, do you know about this?
Yeah, I mean, the pedophile thing they've kind of addressed in removing comments from all kids' content. Like, you cannot comment on kids' content anymore.
Okay.
Because of that. But as far as the rules, yeah, because it's like they tend to, you know, pull down more conservative channels and stuff based on, you know, people talking about the elections and the jabs and stuff like that versus letting more left-leaning get away with more.
Okay. Because I was reading some of the responses on Twitter and it was like, you can't say DAM, which is how you block water, right?
Right.
Or the swear version of that. But you can do all other manner of sins.
That's actually not true. You can even use the F word and it doesn't affect your advertising. Okay. Depending on how, like, they YouTube themselves came out with a video and said, no, you can swear. You just don't want it in your title, and you don't want it within the first couple seconds of your video because you have to give a, you know, some kind of a disclaimer that it's there. And then,
because
and then
advertisers don't seem to care. They
no.
advertise on TikTok videos.
Yeah, they don't care. That was all just a big, like, I don't believe YouTube was being honest with all of that. Because
yeah.
there's people that would advertise on any kind of content.
Okay.
But I think it is, you know, this is the problem that YouTube has, is that this, you know, pick a side YouTube. It's not even about picking a side. It's like, just be more transparent. Like, let us know what the heck you deem, you know, appropriate and what you don't. I mean, because you can say things when it relates to COVID where they'll say, hey, we won't allow any stuff that, you know, goes against what the WHO has to say. Like, we won't go again. We'll take your content down if you put up something on YouTube that goes against what they have to say, right?
Unless you're Fox, CNN, all that stuff.
Right, unless you're mainstream media, we'll take it down if you're like a small creator or whatever. But it's interesting because if you go back towards the beginning of this pandemic, you know, early, the early word out of Taiwan was, hey, we're noticing that like people are passing this thing back and forth. And the WHO's official position at that time was, no, it doesn't. So if you think about that for a second, like because the WHO didn't recognize Taiwan as separate from China, it wouldn't allow that information to be used. And therefore, the official WHO position on that, that I could pass that virus to you, mm-hmm. was that that doesn't happen. And so if you did a video that's like, hey, we think, you know, this is passing from person to person, that was technically a violation of what the WHO believed. And so therefore, YouTube should have banned it, but they didn't. Mm. So that's where this like hypocrisy and lack of transparency and all of these issues come to play. And then, hey, if you're a liberal news organization and you want to start blocking conservative voices, we know that's what Google did during the election, suppressed websites like Breitbart and others. There's plenty of reporting on that. So when you go into search results and look for stuff, Google was suppressing voices. And so this is where people get so frustrated with this big tech oligarchy. Like, what is your plan? Like, are you going to tell us what you're blocking?
Right.
What words are a problem and why?
It's so tricky.
Thing too, that like with the WHO and the CDC, like they've been wrong several times and changed their information. But the people I've been following, like they were saying the stuff the CDC was not saying and their videos got taken down. However, you know, once it came to light that they were right, then nothing happened. They didn't get an apology. They don't get doesn't get put back online. Like nothing happens.
Yeah. They just ignore it. They're like, oh, well, we made that. Yeah. That's how we felt a year ago with this faulty information. So you did a video about it, called it out. It doesn't matter. Your channel's still screwed. Your livelihood is still screwed.
No, you got to stay on point.
It's like they totally forget how science works. Like it's a, you know, but anyway.
All right,
that happened to us. I mean, we got suspended here on this channel. And like they just said it was medical misinformation, but didn't say what it was. Like we had no idea what we said. Did we say the V? Did we say the word COVID? Like what was it? And they don't tell you.
They didn't tell you.
Hmm.
And now we've been proven correct, by the way. So it's
exactly. You know,
but no apology from them, of course.
All right. Shadow Whale is trending. He's a musician and he sold out a stadium in Ghana over the weekend. Don't play it. Okay. Just you can. Can you play without?
Whoa, look how big his feet are.
I think the video is not to scale. Sorry about that.
I hate these
It was a TikTok video. So, okay. He's trending because he sold out a stadium in Ghana over the weekend. And at the show, he said he did not need Nigerian artists to help him out because promoters said he needed a Nigerian artist on the ticket. And he said, no, I don't need any bleepy bleep 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 of any of those. And this video went viral because a Nigerian artist said, that's very offensive and we should be coming together and you shouldn't have said that. So this is internal conflict. I'm not going to pretend that I am familiar
with
his catalog.
East Coast, West Coast.
Yes.
You know, so you guys got to stop this. Same stuff that got Biggie, you know, and Clayton. Tupac in trouble.
We are not cool. Let's not pretend that we know.
You got to listen to the interview with Snoop Dogg on Joe Rogan where they were talking about how before the internet that people thought there was all this East West Coast conflict, but like they were working together, but they didn't have a way to share it with people because you didn't have social media. It's a really good interview to hear how that East West Coast thing got fixed because of social media.
Wow. Interesting.
All right. Well, maybe social media will fix this because there's all sorts of Nigerian artists coming out to say words of equality. Bath and Body Works is trending big time because the store's semi-annual sale starts every year after Christmas. It started on Sunday and people lose their minds about buying hand soaps and body sprays and things like that. You have until January 18th, 3-wick candles. I didn't know that the Bath and Body Works sold candles, but apparently they do. Please check your products for parabens and parfums. And
yeah, those things
kind of
on the walls, like I used to like them, but then they would start giving me a headache. You know, where you plug the Bath and Body Works like scented fragrance sticks into a wall, like you plug them in, like, and it would heat the chemicals and you would breathe them in and like you'd be like, oh, it smells really good in
here. Do they sell those at Bath and Body Works? I thought it was just cosmetic products. I didn't know about the scented candles and things like that.
Do they sell scented candles?
Yes. Whoever in the chat put chemical overload, you are right. Check your... I don't think those are...
But those fragrance things that plug into
products.
A wall like those, whatever they are, do you guys know what the names of them are?
Well, they have the Glade ones.
Like Glade. The Glade plugins. Oh yeah. My God. It's like... Here's a little cartridge that you slide in, and if you smell it on your fingers, you can't get it off for like a day, you know. And it's got, trust me, I've been there. And you slide those things in there, and it's so pungent. Like this little thing is going to heat up by your electricity. I'm sure it's safe. It's chemicals, like some sort of horrible chemical floating through the air that you're ingesting, so you can get this fake perfume smell.
Yeah,
I wish I would have known that when I was younger, because I sometimes going out on a date would grab that on the way out the door and rub it on my shirt.
Oh, no. No. You're giving
me. I once had a really like crazy meeting at an office one time, and it was in a conference room. And I was there all day, and it was such a pain. And they had like five of these Glade plugins in this conference room. And it just added to like the headache that I had from being in this place to begin with. And I went around and I unplugged them all. And the woman walked by, like she was sort of like the mother hen of the place. She was like, wow, why are these all unplugged? You know, I was like, oh my God.
Because they're toxins?
Like, oh my God. She was like freaking out that like they're unplugged and I couldn't concentrate because they're pungent and awful. Yeah.
Well, you ever smelled people trying
this
to cover
comment's
up
my favorite. Ben Sis in the chat says, carcinogen is my favorite plug-in scent.
Yeah, do you have carcinogen smell? Because I just need that for my... What were you going
to
say, David?
It's like people who try to cover up cigarette smoke smell with those things. It just makes this complete, like, nasty mixture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Okay, those are landfill, those little cartridges. So
don't
check
do
your
it.
Products, you guys, please. Jared Leto is trending because the actor turned 50 and he posted this shirtless photo of himself.
Oh, you know, I don't have it.
You have it.
No, I can't find it.
Wait, go back into the folder because I just saw it.
I don't see if I don't think I have it.
Click that. Click right there.
No.
Push your finger down on the click.
Let me go up here. See if I have it in this folder. I don't even know if I have it.
We're showing this. There it is.
Why are we going to show this?
Because we like our viewers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this guy is 50 now. Okay. He's eating a rainbow cake.
So how about this?
And I don't know why
what
he's
is that
bloody.
Blood?
I think it's because he's currently filming Morbius.
I'm going to do that to his photo.
He still looks just as buff, honey. You're not making him look any worse.
How about that?
You know, I got to say.
Stop it.
I got to say.
Would you do that if it was Kate Beckinsale?
No, I would do it the other way. I would do it up and down.
He ruined the Joker for me.
Oh,
I didn't see that movie, and I think just because I don't know, I think he's a I think he's a wacko, but I don't know. Yeah. I didn't see that one.
Okay, so this is him on his.
Why is he far off? Why is he all shiny?
And I'm not far off from that. So,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Look just like this, I'm sure.
Why is he all shiny? 6 months of working out away from that. So,
I don't know. It's not a very well. He's a Capricorn too, so you should understand.
So how old is he? 51?
He's 50. This is 50. His 50th birthday. And I guess I didn't know that he's filming a Spider-Man spinoff called Morbius. Do you know anything about
Morbius,
this?
Morbius, a Spider-Man spinoff. Well, I know Morbius, right? Morbius is the comic book fans in the chat is he's a Dracula. He's a vampire, right?
Okay, then the blood makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think he's like a 1970s Spider-Man villain, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be totally wrong about that. Yeah, I do wish I looked like that Super Panda. That's exactly right.
New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
For us all. Jared Schmeck is trending, not to be confused with Jared Leto. Jared Schmeck is the man who called into a show with President Biden and the First Lady on Christmas Eve. And he said, let's go Biden, let's go Brandon, excuse me, which is the code phrase for an offensive critique of the president. The 35-year-old Oregon man said that he meant no disrespect. He just wishes the president could be doing a better job. The president didn't seem to really, it didn't land right away.
Joe Biden says, let's go Brandon too. Well, yeah, when the guy said it, he goes, let's go Brandon. And Joe Biden goes, yeah, he goes, I agree. Let's go Brandon.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what's going on. Do you think anyone sat him down?
We're not
going
to start this again about
his anyone sat him down in a meeting and was like, look, Mr. President, we need to talk about let's go Brandon. And be like,
probably
what?
Not before then, but since, yes.
I guess. I mean, if I was president, I'd be like, okay, we've got more important things to worry about at the moment, but okay, if people are critiquing my presidency, I get it. But
yeah.
And if I were that race car driver, I would embrace the crap out of that. I would have been, that'd have been on my car. Like I'd have been like,
he's upset about it.
Yeah,
I would have owned it.
Yeah, I know. So you got to run with that stuff. You can't.
Well, it's silly, it's not a classy
thing to say. Trend with or without you.
Say.
Are you talking about for the race car driver?
No, I'm talking about in general, like to say that to the president on Christmas Eve.
No, that's not a classy thing to say. That's just, you know, and he was one of like a few people I think that the president called for this like Christmas wish.
Yeah.
Like the president was like wishing him, I don't know, and to say that to him, then don't, you know.
It's unnecessary.
Anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm sure Fox.
I'm not laughing about this.
I'm sure Fox will have him on TV though. Get this guy some coverage.
Right. He'll be the new Plumber Joe.
He'll be the,
I mean, I still
Joe
think
the plumber,
you know, I still think plumber. At the end of the day, because the guy's not doing his job, that he does deserve criticism. And so I did think it was funny, you know, because he's not done anything that he said he was going to do. And he doesn't deserve, just because it's Christmas and he's feeling like he's being kind, that you look at all the people he screwed during the pandemic, you know.
Well, look at all the people that are bailing out of the Boris Johnson administration at Christmas, you know? So, like, they're not immune to criticism just because it's the holidays.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. But I think, you know, when you're sitting there on Christmas Eve doing this, like, feel-good little piece, it's not a time to, like, there's a time and place for that kind of thing.
I wouldn't do it.
Plumber Joe doesn't always have access.
Like, when are you going to get to talk to the president?
Like, right. But did he really make a point? No, it was a jab. Like, if you really actually wanted to say, hey, you know, there are millions of kids who will no longer have the child tax credit. So this will be their last opportunity for any kind of gift on Christmas. What do you say to that? That's a fair question. But just a like epithet.
Yeah.
He didn't make any points. It was a hit and run in what was otherwise supposed to be, a unifying moment of just like we all like the holiday and family.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm not for that, but.
All right. Anything else on the trending list?
No.
No?
No. Sorry, I forgot where I was for a second. You guys, when my kids are home, I am struggling to keep it. Like when Clayton was talking about red state, blue state thing, the piano teacher couldn't get to the, and it's like, I'm sorry. I apologize. As the Pope asked me to do, I am sorry.
Mark this like, day down on your calendar, December 27th.
So the piano teacher has a cold and they're doing it during school hours because they're not in school, and then I can't find her on Skype, and so that falls on me. It shouldn't. I'm sorry. You deserved more,
more Natalie.
During that red state, blue state conversation, and I didn't give it to you.
So, well, you get a pass. All right.
I need a pass for the next 2 weeks because they don't go back to real school, at least until the 10th. Because of the pandemic, they have to do 2 weeks holiday and then 1 week of cooling off period where they do virtual school so they don't all come back from their travels and share COVID. So if my eyes are fully crossed by the end of two weeks and my hair looks like Hermione Granger, you'll know.
All right, Jason Frank says we started a new his super chat. Jason Frank says we started a new trend. Thank you for your $5 super chat. When we want to change the topic, we just say, so a Jack Reacher series is coming out. <That's> now cute. It's being said randomly. That's so true. That's great. What about this Jack Reacher series that just started? Yes, let's change the topic.
Yeah.
Someone just said it's starting, right? I think it already started. It looks pretty awesome.
I don't know.
I'm game for it.
I'm gonna watch that Don't Look Up today. That new new movie. That's really good.
Oh, it's a comedy, Netflix. Right?
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio and
Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Hudson, Lawrence. Yeah. Anyway, we got to finish Hawkeye tonight.
Oh, the finale came out.
Yeah, so we got to finish that. We have one more episode. All right,
Chris Moore. Who do you see doing more for the people, Nancy or Kamala?
Hmm.
I mean, they both had chances already to do things for the people and. They haven't, so.
Maybe Nancy, because she knows how to. Honestly, if you had to ask me that question, honestly, I mean, I would say Nancy Pelosi. I mean, you know, you might hate her, but, and I'm not saying I like her at all, and I'm not a Democrat, you know, I'm an independent, but I would say from a Democratic perspective, someone who knows how to herd cats, there's no one better than knows how to get votes and knows how to bring the Democratic Party together when it comes time for a vote. She passed the stimulus. Right?
Yeah.
She sent it over to the Senate. It's sitting there on the Senate's desk right now because Joe Manchin can't get, you know, Chuck Schumer can't get Joe Manchin in line. So Nancy Pelosi gets votes.
Imagine the insider trading she could do as president.
Yeah. She could do all sorts of horse trading inside. Insider trading, horse trading. She could really
Katie will go. Don't Look Up as a movie on Netflix. 5 stars. Carla Becker, I love you guys. Thanks for being here for all of us during the hard time in the world.
Oh, thank you for joining us here.
Thank you for being here for us during this hard time in the world. Yeah, we're so excited to have a community to talk with because otherwise this conversation would look the same, which exactly. is nobody with us.
Chris Moore, concentration camps? Did you even see the videos of the people in Australia on TikTok? Concentration camps, more like a week-long spa experience? But like, could you imagine a forced spa experience? That's not going to be really fun if you're forced to be there.
Yeah, so 2,000 people.
I will volunteer.
You would volunteer to go to a spa
for
after
a forced spa experience.
But that's because you've been home, all right, with the kids for 3 weeks. So here's a question for you.
I'll take it for the team.
Would you take going to a forced spa treatment week in Australia? You can't leave. Can't be near your kids for 3 weeks.
Well, and to be clear, there was no spa.
Wow.
It was not spa treatment.
Right. There was no spa treatments. But let's just say we'll step it up a notch. We'll just say this is a spa treatment.
I will do it. I will take it for the team.
You have to be jabbed every day. They're gonna give you a booster shot
this
every day.
Is ridiculous.
And they're gonna test you with the swabs up your nose every day.
And you get a $5,000 fine if you go over the yellow tape.
Yeah.
Okay, David, you stop adding to this fantasy. You're out. Clay's
so
making it better and you're making
true.
It worse.
She's like, wow, okay. So
yeah, I'm going.
I won't be fed.
But not with David's
food,
thing.
But
I'll do that, but not with David's
no kids.
Thing.
But yeah, you know, you have these concentration. They were concentration camps. These people were kept there against their will. And regardless of, you know, that they were in like little houses and stuff, like, okay, would you, we're justifying the amenities of a concentration camp, basically.
That's not funny. I have no response.
Yeah, because every concentration camp had beds and, you know, food
right.
and stuff. So what the heck
so
are
you
complaining
being,
about?
You're being held without your consent in a camp because you didn't get vaccinated and you're being tested every day against your will. Like, okay, maybe it's not.
Meanwhile,
you know,
the vaccinated are out spreading the virus while you're in there.
Yeah, it's not the gulag, but. Still, you're being held against your will. No, thank you. That's not freedom, you know? All right.
They had
what else?
That's it. That's all the super chats.
That's it. They had a pool. Well, it is Australia. All right.
Yeah.
Dark comedy.
And there was one super chat saying this program is too short, and we apologize. But this is what we got.
Thank you, everyone. Hey, we have a whole store, by the way. Like, I got my Morning Invest stickers. You can get your Morning Invest stickers if you like. T-shirts and mugs. We got our Grover mugs over there. If you go to morninginvest.com/store right there, you can check out what we've got, the different merch. We got some new stuff that hopefully we can be working on here as we head into the new year that will be in the storefront. It's a different spring line of stuff as well. So all of that there. Go to morninginvest.com/store to check that out. And that's our main website. If you want to get our newsletter, just go to morninginvest.com. Morninginvest.com is the place to get the newsletter delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. So,
and we apologize. We didn't show you Grover today. He was chasing the kids outside. Miles got one of those like foam airplanes that it's like a, yeah, it's just a toy. It's not automated or anything, but it flies really far. And
Grover's been chasing it like
Grover
crazy.
Was out playing with them. I could hear them. Like
he was, he jumped up behind you earlier today
for a little bit when Miles came up. Yeah. So, when the kids are home, Grover doesn't sit for the news.
Yeah.
It just happens that way. So we apologize for the lack of Grover too. But we're still here and we're so glad to see you. We will have a show all week up until Wednesday.
Cause Thursday we're going away for my birthday, which is New Year's Eve.
Yes. But we're so happy to be with you this holiday season. Thank you for your subscriptions and for your likes. Please like the show, subscribe, tell your friends, and we'll see you here tomorrow, everybody.
Bye.